먹고 하면 꽃이 피고 이 먹고 하면 낙엽이 지네. To lose both my Buddha and my Senshinobi. My grandmaster is a Yongsung Sunim. I've never met him because he passed away in 1940, just a year before I was born. And he was a towering figure in his time. When he was alive, almost the entire period of his lifetime, the country was under Japanese military occupation. So in 1919, the Koreans rose up against the colonial rule, so they in the marketplace. So there were 33 national leaders, it's called signatories, who signed independence declaration. And my grandmaster Yongsung Sunim was one of the 33. So they were arrested by the Japanese police and imprisoned. So he spent 2 years in prison. While in prison, he enjoyed being in the prison because he can do a lot of work, you know. And indeed he did. He, you know, started translating the the Avatamsaka Sutra, and then composed this one. It's called Sushim Jangno, the right path on the cultivation of a Buddha mind. So here, one chapter, he deals with what is it, how do, and I'll I just got translated and I'll read it to you. Each and everyone has one thing. This one thing has swallowed heaven and earth and the whole empty sky. Yet tiny enough to be held, to be contained in the moat of dust. It is brighter than hundreds of sun and moonlights put together, but darker than a lacquer box. This thing is always with us in every in everyday life, of dressing, eating, and sleeping. Yet there is no name or form. It is neither mind, nor not mind, neither thought, nor non-thought, and neither enlightenment, nor non-enlightenment. It is neither spirit, nor non-spirit, and neither one thing, nor non-one thing. It is none of all these various things, but nevertheless, it manifests all this diversity of things. It is luminous, mysterious, completely empty, extremely large, extremely thin, extremely strong, and extremely supple. You can neither comprehend this thing with your heart mind, nor with a no heart mind, and neither with the words, nor with the silence. What is it? As you can see, he did a pretty good job to block all cerebral activities, or intelligence and intellectual activities. And of course, he could have all said this with an unknowing mind. Because it's, people always come up, you know, all these and that things. So he has to say all these things to block them, like blockade. Now he says, what is it? What is this thing, this one thing? And then he recommends the classical in order to do this practice, you have to be as honest as mother hen hatching eggs. It has to provide a warmth constantly using, you know, the power of a constant practice. So as urgent as baby looking for mother's breasts. And if you approach this huddle with such earnestness and sincerity, you would not fail to discover your original face. What is it? Now, as you can see for yourself, a true practitioner gone deeply into herself or himself with a hard practice using the power of a constant practice. We say such a person, such a practitioner is invisible. Such a person is there, but not there. Last night I mentioned three qualities of meditation practice. The first one, deep. The second one, and third one I did not mention. The second one is penetrating and pervading. And third one is illuminating. So you can see such a true and sincere practitioner is there but not there, even though he's there and not there, or almost invisible, the whole world belongs to that person. So the whole world is with him or with her. He does not worry about it. He just stays with practice. Going deeper, and then penetrating, pervading, and illuminating. Here, he's completely surrounded by the power of unknowing mind. The only thing he has is so what is it? How to practice? Something like that, whether given your situation, wherever you are with your own practice, it's like a water flow. Once you join this flow, eventually, and if you don't dry out, and if you keep flowing, eventually you end up in the ocean. That's a Buddhist faith. Everyone would end up in great liberation. It's even the word called ocean seal samadhi. You know, that's the meaning of Hensai, the famous temple. Well, once you end up in the ocean, there's great liberation. There's no self, no others. No birth, no death. Samsara is nirvana, nirvana, samsara. So in a sense, we are in this flow, in this stream, in this river. So, it's when you do extra practice on your own, it's true and sincere practitioner, completely free from obstacles, hindrances. You practice for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and 15 minutes, either doing prostrations, or walking meditation, or just standing tree zen, looking at the Buddha statue, or sitting in chair. And I use the word advancing. Don't try to look back. Because you know that if there's a little crack taking place in your practice, and ooh la la, this your laundry would show up, and immediately you would start to smell that. So then you know what to do right away. right away. Don't worry about it. Don't try to smell it, just right away. Right away. What is it? Hannah. Five. And your cats will shine. Your cats will shine. It's okay. Well, I understand you struggle. I tell them, don't struggle with your karma. Struggle with your dharma. So you see, there's meaningful struggles. But better still, enjoy doing your practice. And, under this weather, you look pretty good, right? Since your body mind is wide awake, right? So you remember, may I stay fully awake with my practice using the power of a constant practice throughout the day. So you have just a little bit more to go until the very end of this day.